It is good to see so many of you here today. This is such a special occasion, isn't it? This Easter that you celebrate. It is the occasion in the Christian church. Now, I suppose there are other religions that have their special days. I know there are. But this day is different. Oh, the other religions, they have their days when people come together, when their places of worship are packed. But Easter, this day you celebrate, it's different. I can tell you, my own people knew how to celebrate festivals. As a Jew, it was my experience that on the feast days, the Jews would always come out. The streets of Jerusalem would be packed. Even today, I understand that the normal Jewish days are not so well attended, but the high holy days, those are the days when the synagogues are full. And so it can be in the church as well. I've heard there are some of you, perhaps, I don't know, that they call, what is it, C and E Christians, Christmas and Easter. You come, whether the church, whatever's going on, you are there for Christmas and you're there for Easter. And it's good. It's good that you're here today. But Easter's not just a big day in the church. It's the day in the church because the resurrection of Jesus is so foundational. You see, coming to church is really not something that's all that important. What matters is giving your life to God. If you give your life to God, you go to church, but you can go to church without giving your life to God. The question is, on Easter, do you believe in Jesus enough to give Him everything? Do you believe in Jesus enough to realize that He is not just the Jewish Messiah, He is the Savior and Messiah of all? Well, this morning I have been invited to come to tell you my story because I suspect that some of you think, if I just knew a little bit more, if I just had a greater experience with God, then I could believe. Perhaps you think, if only I had a miracle of God in my life, then I would believe. I'm not so sure. Let me begin by introducing myself. My name is Lazarus. Now, I know that in your day, many of you confuse me. You see, in your Bible, your New Testament, there are a couple people whose names are Lazarus, and I am not the other one. You see, in your book you call Luke, written by Dr. Luke, he tells a story that Jesus told about a man named Lazarus. You remember the story? You know, it begins, there was this rich man, and he was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. And there at his gate was laid a man by the name of Lazarus. That wasn't me. No, I can see why people would confuse us. I mean, after all, we both shared the same name, and it's not the common name for you. And in fairness, I suppose the thing that made that Lazarus and me most well known was what God did for us after we died. But nevertheless, that Lazarus is not me. No, there are a couple things at least that distinguish me from him. One was that I was a friend of Jesus, a very close friend with Jesus. I was a follower of his, and my sisters, Mary and Martha, perhaps you know them. You know, Mary was the one who is known for having washed Jesus' feet with her hair? We'll talk about that in a moment. But we were followers. And another thing that distinguishes me from the other Lazarus is he was a beggar, but I was a person with some means. And I was not afraid to give what I had to Jesus. In fact, because I was a close friend with Jesus, he was always welcome in my house. We lived in Bethany. You may not be familiar, but Bethany is only a couple miles from Jerusalem. So whenever Jesus went to Jerusalem, he would need a place to stay. And he knew. He knew, Jesus, if you come to Jerusalem, you have to stay with me in Bethany. There's always a meal. There's always a bed. There's always a place for you. And it's probably because of our relationship that I found myself disappointed with Jesus. You see, I became quite ill. In fact, I didn't even realize. I just knew I had no strength, and I knew that I felt horrible. But then I heard Mary and Martha talking, and I heard them say, the doctors say that he won't live much longer. Lazarus is going to die. One thing I knew, one thing my sisters knew, this Jesus, who was our good friend, was able to make everything right. And that's why Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that I was ill. They knew that if Jesus would just come, that he could heal me. That if Jesus came, everything would be all right. I believe that as well. And that's why I would have been particularly disappointed if I had known that when Jesus got word that I was ill, he chose not to come. He decided that he would stay where he was for a couple more days rather than come to Bethany. I didn't know that at the time, but had I known that, I would have been very disappointed. Because you see, because Jesus did not come, because Jesus didn't intervene, I died. Now, there were reasons why Jesus chose not to come. His disciples thought the reason was because Jesus was concerned for his safety. After all, the last time that Jesus had been in Jerusalem, it was a dangerous place for him. They tried to stone him. They tried to throw him off of a cliff. His disciples thought, the last place we want to be is in Jerusalem. Jesus told the disciples, Lazarus is sleeping. And at a certain point, after Jesus knew that I was dead, he said, we must go to Bethany and I must wake him up. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's sleeping, let him sleep. If he's not feeling well, maybe a little rest would do him some good. They didn't really want to go to Bethany or anywhere near Jerusalem. But Jesus said, you don't understand. You see, Lazarus is dead. And we must go. Now, if the disciples didn't want to go to see me when they thought I was sick, they had even less interest in going when they knew I was dead. They thought, why in the world should we show up for a dead man when we might be dead men if we show up? But that didn't stop Jesus. He decided that he would come to Bethany. Now, it was now 4 days after I had died. My body had been put in a grave. And my sisters were sitting Shiva. They were mourning the 7 day period after a death. And people had come from Jerusalem and from all of Bethany, and they had gathered around to support Mary and Martha in their grief. And knowing that my presence would cause a disruption, I was dead. Well, of course it would cause a disruption. I really didn't have any recollection of any of this. But Jesus came. And as he came, he stayed in the shadows. And Martha heard that Jesus was there, and so she came out to see him. She said, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus said, Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said, Jesus, I know that he will rise in the last day. And Jesus said, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he will live. And he who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. The truth is, Martha didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So often Jesus said things that we didn't understand. All we knew is we believed who he was. In believing who he was, we accepted what he could do. Martha, a little confused, went back and got her sister Mary. And Mary, hearing that Jesus was there, made her way to Jesus. And the mourners who were there with Mary assumed she was going to the grave. And so they followed her, and there she saw him with Jesus. And when Mary came to Jesus, she fell on her knees and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It was obvious Jesus was troubled by this. He said, where have you put him? She and the mourners said, come and see. And they took Jesus to my grave. My grave was really a tomb, like many other tombs in that day. It was a cave that was covered with a large stone. Jesus stood outside my grave. And he said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And then he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of those who are gathered here, that they will know that you have sent me. And then Jesus looked at the tomb. And he shouted, Lazarus, come forth! And I tell you, it was as if I had been taken from a dream into another dream. From that day on, people would always ask me, Lazarus, what is it like to die? Is there a light that you see? Did you experience the presence of God? What was heaven like, Lazarus? I said, I don't know. For me, it was like being asleep. I just slept. And then I heard Jesus' voice. And I came forward. As I stepped out of the grave, I was bound hand and feet in grave clothes. And even my beard didn't last in the grave. And so I noticed the people, they didn't know what to do. They looked at me, bound head and foot, and they thought, who is this man? Is he our friend Lazarus, or is he some fiend, some phantom? It was amazing, really. As I stood there, I was so glad that Jesus said, take the claws from his face, or I would have died again from suffocation. And they first, when I stepped forward, there were shrieks. There were gasps. A dead man was walking. A dead man was alive. And then as they began to unwrap me, there was silence. Absolute silence. They didn't know what to expect. They unwrapped my face, and I heard the shrieks as my face was revealed. And I wished I'd thought about it at the time. I didn't think about it till later, but I wished I'd just gone, boom! But then, gradually, the gasps and the shrieks gave way to laughter and to yells and just shouts and hoorays. Lazarus is alive! Lazarus is alive! He's alive! All of a sudden, the mourning, the grief of the Shiva had given way to the hoops and the hollers of a welcome home party. Now, it will not surprise you, didn't surprise me, that after such an amazing thing, that many people who were there at my graveside believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They had seen a dead man rise from the dead. And they believed. What may surprise you, what shocked me, was there were also quite a few who did not believe. They saw the same thing. It was undeniable. And yet, instead of staying there with all of the mourners who had become revelers, they went back to Jerusalem to tell the priests, the members of the Sanhedrin. And I might have thought that if the Jewish leaders had heard that the Messiah, Jesus, had raised someone from the dead, that they too would say, he must be who he claims to be. We must follow him. We must learn from him. At the very least, I would have thought they would have come to investigate what had really happened. But they did not. Instead, they thought, now for sure, we must get rid of him. Everyone is going after him. And Caiaphas, the high priest, said, he must die for the sake of all of Israel. Jesus must die. The high priest somehow did not even realize the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus, the Messiah, was going to do exactly what the prophet had said. and his enemies, Caiaphas, our Jewish leaders, were going to oblige him. Now, because it was getting close to the time of the Passover, and because Jesus was now enemy number one of the Jewish leaders, Jesus and his disciples withdrew from Bethany up into the wilderness a few miles, and they stayed there in quiet and in seclusion. It was about 6 days before the Passover. We had known where Jesus was, and because there was no opportunity in all of the celebration to thank Jesus and to let him know how honored we were and how overwhelmed we were and how grateful we were for what he did, I hosted the special dinner in his honor at my home. And Jesus came. I had the luxury, the blessing to recline at table with my friend Jesus. Martha was serving the meal. She always served so well. And as Jesus sat there, Mary came and she poured this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. The fragrance filled the room. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas, said, "Why did you do that? That was enough to pay a man's wages for a whole year, and you just poured it out on Jesus' feet. That could have fed the poor." But I'll never forget Jesus' words. He said, "Leave her alone, Judas. She has anointed me for my burial. The poor you will always have with you, but you won't have me much longer." Jesus, even in that moment, knew what he had come to do. He had come to die, and just 7 days after this event, he would be nailed to a cross to pay for my sins and to pay for your sins. And yet this one who was able to raise me from the dead was also great enough that death could not hold him. And 3 days later, he too would rise, conquering death, proving for all time that he was who he claimed to be, and he did what he said he would do, and he has forgiven sins, mine and yours and everyone's. Everyone who will believe. And yet there are always those who don't believe. The Jewish leaders, they never believed. In fact, when they got word that Jesus had come to my house and that we had him eat in our home, and the crowds had gathered not only to see Jesus, but to see me, the dead man, walking, the Jewish leaders said, "We not only have to kill Jesus, we have to kill Lazarus too." You would have thought that anyone who had been there that day when Jesus worked that miracle for me and my family would have believed. But the truth is, belief requires more than evidence. It requires a willing heart, an open heart. I could show you proof after proof and reason after reason that Jesus was who he claimed to be. The leaders in my day saw it all. But they would not believe. What about you? What about you today? Have you given your life to Jesus as your Messiah? Have you surrendered yourself to Him and said, I will follow you wherever you go, whatever you say? Or are you waiting for something more? A little more proof, a little more evidence, something to convince you. I will tell you this. If your heart is not open, there is not evidence anywhere that can convince you. And yet, if you will be open to the movement of God, if you will just believe that Jesus is the Messiah, this Easter Sunday can be the great beginning of a new spiritual adventure. Shalom to you all.